Good evening, everyone, board members. Today is September 21st, 2021, and today is the, we're present for the Fairburn Main Street Board meeting. The time is, oh, I don't have the time, 7:05 p.m. And we do have present Mika Smith, Lee McMichael, board members Mika Smith, Lee McMichael, I guess Alfonso, board member, is that you at Alfred's S21 Ultra? Is that you, Alfonso?
Yeah, I'm Alfred Arnold. I'm the son of Frankie Arnold.
Oh, okay. So, all righty. I'm sorry. Well, we'll get back to you in just one.
Yes, oh, welcome. Welcome to the meeting.
Yeah, welcome, though. we have board member Kimberly Bracey, Vice Chair Kimberly Bracey, and Chairperson Leon Benton. I'm trying to see everyone, and I don't know the other people. It's Dr. Parks. I know he works with Fairburn, staff member Dr. Parks. And then I see someone that just simply state owner. So I don't know who that is.
If they will introduce themselves.
Hello. Hey, the meeting has started. Yes. Okay, let me tell Sylvia. Sylvia, this is Apostle Jones on the other line.
Okay.
She's saying she's having issues getting in.
Okay. So we have, Devontae, I know you're on the call, and there is also someone out acting as host, so I need you to admit Apostle, because the host is not showing up now on my screen.
Okay.
Okay, I don't see her in the waiting room.
Then we also have someone who is just owner.
That is me. I'm Patrick Arnold, Ms. Frankie Arnold's son.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Wonderful.
Okay. And so, Devontae, I'm hearing folks in the waiting room. I'm not able to see them, but if you would go ahead and admit them and announce who's entering.
I just let Mr. Barry
I'm
in.
I'm Jane Arnold, Ms. Frankie's daughter.
Yes, ma'am. Good to meet you, Ms. Arnold.
Thank you.
Good to see you again. You said that Mr. Barry joined us?
There was an Alfred Barry that I just let in.
Awesome.
Okay, and that's the new board member, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and we also have, let me for the record state, we do have board member Alfonso Barry. So we do have a quorum. And board members, do you see the printed agenda before you?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes.
Do I hear a motion placed on the table for the approval of the agenda or any changes?
I'd like to make a motion to accept the agenda as printed without any changes.
Okay, we do have a motion on the table by Ms. Kimberly Bracey to approve the agenda as written. Do I hear a second?
A second.
All right. And who seconded that?
Mika Smith.
Okay, it is seconded by Mika Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
All right. No opposition. Wait just one second. Hello, Apostle. Yeah. Okay. Apostle Jones is still saying she's having issues getting to the weight room.
Is she able to log in or she's not on our end? Maybe we need to send her a new link.
Yeah. I have her on speakerphone. Apostle Jones, can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay. Go ahead, Dr. Parks. What did you say?
Ms. Apostle Jones, if you would log in, go to zoom.com and there's the meeting ID that I can give you now. The meeting ID number is 943.
She's asking Dr. Parks. She's asking, can you text it to her?
Yes, if you would chat me her number, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, Rhonda, I'll be able to, I can send it. If you want to go ahead.
Okay.
With the I can go ahead and take care of that.
Thank you, Ms. Abernathy. Mr. Jones, Ms. Abernathy will text you the login information, okay?
Okay, all right, because they're saying that, but I'm waiting for them to let me in.
Okay. All righty. All right. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, first of all, let me say welcome to our newest member, which is Alfonso Berry. I'm glad to see you here, Mr. Berry.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can call me Zoe or Alonzo. I know some people say Alfonso, but you can.
Oh, it's Alonzo. Okay. I'm sorry. I wrote it down wrong.
No worries.
Okay. It's a
pleasure to be here.
Okay. And probably at the end of this meeting, in due of everything, hopefully you can just give us a brief commercial. As I always say, give us a commercial about yourself. Okay. So, and I also want to say welcome to our guest that we have, which is, we'll have them to introduce themselves because I can't see everyone and I'm trying to see everyone, but we do have members of the Arnold family and I want to say thank you for attending tonight's meeting. We really appreciate you coming on and giving us your thoughts and your comments about our proposed scholarship program. So thank you. And we'll hear from you after we hear from the presenter tonight, which is Mark, and I can't say his last name, so I apologize for that. But he will give us a presentation about the cash card, the Fairburn cash card program. So hopefully everyone have on their microphone so they can hear it. And also he will give us, well, the presentation. Do you have something, Mark, that we can all look at, or you just a verbal presentation?
I do have some visuals, so I can, okay. If it's okay to share the screen.
Yes, it's free to share it. Right, it's, yeah.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
Okay, well, the floor is yours.
Oh, okay. It's me now. All right.
Yes.
Hold on. Give me 1 second while I orient myself.
Okay. Hello.
Let Apostle know we're getting it. We're getting her plugged in.
Okay. This is her.
Let me know if you're Sylvia able to.
They're getting you plugged in, but in the meantime, I will keep you on speaker. Okay. All right.
Is everybody able to see my screen?
Yes.
I am.
All righty then. So I'm just going to drop into presenter mode.
All right. Apostle Jones, just let me know when you can't hear.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Great. All righty then. So I'll kick things off here. First of all, thank you for inviting me to your meeting tonight. You must be all very dedicated people meeting in the evening times like this, which is great. It's exactly the type of community folks that we love to work with. Just jumping right into things, I hope you don't mind, but based on the conversations that we've had with Sylvia and learning a bit about your community and understanding that you have goals of being a burgeoning destination, and how food and culture is very important. We concepted some demo materials for the purposes of demonstration. So that's what you see here, Fairburn Taste, is just a kind of a fun way of demonstrating what you can maybe call your program. And you know, what we do is it's a community gift card program that we offer, and I'll walk through a couple of the benefits of it that you see below in terms of the merchants being able to gain customers, new customers, marketing exposure for both businesses and the community, and establishing a level of community loyalty for those inside of your area, and also those who may be visiting as well. There we go. So accepted here, not there. Now in the industry, what we call our community gift card program is what's known as a closed loop program. This means that you're able to invite whatever merchants that you want to participate inside of the program and essentially exclude any others who that you don't want to you know, have as part of it. So the idea is to have local small businesses work together to create a network where this card can be accepted. And then that way, you know, you're not losing dollars to, you know, Amazon's or these large corporate national organizations. And the card that we have is, it operates independently of what they call the card networks, that, you know, better known as Visa or MasterCard, Amex. And I'll explain, you know, exactly what that looks like, but, just know that this card, you know, if purchased, would be able to, you know, go directly to the participating merchants in the program. And, you know, the community gift card at its heart, you know, is a gift, you know, for any type of occasion. So birthdays, you know, or mitzvahs, showers, what have you. It's a way that, you know, somebody can purchase this card online and send it as an e-gift card. Also send a mail, a voucher to somebody's physical address. Or, you know, it can be a great reward as well. So if you think of some companies in town, they may do some sort of loyalty or employee recognition awards. And sometimes they may give like Amazon cards or something like that, where in this case, they can just give their employees, you know, a Fairburn taste card that can then be spent only at the merchants in that you select inside of your community. So it's a nice way to kind of keep things local and spread, you know, that local awareness of the businesses right in your own town. And getting to some of the benefits from the merchant perspective, you know, what we do is we stand up a website for you. So we would call it whatever, you know, some URL that would be named after your program, say fairburntaste.com. And then we would create that website. And then there would be a listing of the merchants who are participating that you kind of see in that thumbnail in the bottom left. There'd be a map with pin locations. And, you know, as people in your town receive these Fairburn Taste cards as gifts, they can check, you know, the website to see who is participating in the program. And that's when you have a really great, you know, opportunity for businesses in the program to capture those dollars from these cards. And then, you know, consumers will be looking, where can I spend this credit? And then they'll find the businesses who are in the program, they'd visit them, they present their card, the merchant would scan it with, you know, they'd scan it or enter in the passcode from the cards into a virtual terminal that I'll show you exactly how that operates in a little bit. And then that's a way for businesses to earn, you know, consumers that they may not otherwise have been exposed to prior. From the standpoint of standing up a program where that's representative of your area and the businesses in it, it, you know, as people purchase these cards, it really creates a pool of local money that's locked into just these small businesses who are able to really have an excellent chance at capturing a piece of that action. Which is, you know, if say, for instance, you purchase a Visa gift card, that's what they call open loop, you know, you can spend that kind of anywhere. And in this system, as these Fairburn Taste cards are purchased, it's really like locks in that credit and the consumer. And once, you know, they show up to a business in the program, that's when the business has a great chance to really impress the customer and really earn that repeat business from them. And so from that perspective, we like to say that really, this is a program that extends, you know, the idea of community level loyalty to the entire town. And you know, it's marketing ROI that is really measurable. So I'm sure if there's any business owners on the call or if anybody who's had experience with marketing, you know, a lot of times it's really difficult to measure like what's working and what's not. In traditional marketing, you know, you may be purchasing, say, you know, a quarter page ad in a newspaper on section A17, and you're not quite sure maybe who saw it. But in this program, you know, the merchants aren't paying anything up front to participate. It's really only an investment of their time and willingness to participate in the program. And they'll know exactly when somebody shows up to spend, you know, Faceburn or Fairburn Taste dollars with them. So it's a very measurable program, both from the merchant perspective, because we send statements every month to the merchants about how much credit they accepted through the program. So they'll know how many dollars are coming through it to them. And likewise, from the program coordination standpoint, we can tell, you know, if the city or the, you know, Main Street is operating this program, then we can explain to you exactly how much credit has been purchased in Fairburn Taste dollars, how much is outstanding in circulation, how much has been spent back into the local businesses. So it's a really, really nice way of, you know, measuring the local, you know, local economic impacts. And then also, you know, part of what our mission is to really educate the community and to really create what we're calling a shop local culture. You know, as I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir as far as like the vast benefits of spending locally, but there's all sorts of statistics about, you know, 70 cents, upwards of 70 cents in every dollar spent locally stays local, you know, as opposed to if you spend at a big box store or somewhere else where it's as little as 40 cents or less. And so the impact of spending locally is huge. And then this program allows you to really consistently educate the public as far as like those benefits. And, you know, it's not another short fuse event. It's great that there's like different events like Cash Mobs or Small Business Saturday. But when we concepted this type of program, we were really interested in how do we activate the other 360 days of the year and get people to spend and shop locally every day of the year. And then, of course, through the website, there will be an opportunity to receive consistent exposure for both your community, but also the merchants who are participating inside of the program. And of course, you know, whatever partners that you have locally or stakeholders that can help promote the program, of course, brings more eyeballs to it as well. And so a little bit of sort of behind the scenes of how this actually works, I thought it might be helpful to show what the flow for accepting the cards is at a high level. I kind of mentioned a little bit of this at the very beginning, but say for instance, you know, somebody in your town receives a $50 Fairburn Taste card, you know, with $50 on it, they can show up to a business and then the business would simply accept the credit from the card using our system. And then they would, you know, of course, trade $50 of goods or services that the consumer would pick up. And then at the end of every month, we reconcile accounts and we pay merchants out via ACH 100% of what it is they accept. So this credit is as good as cash. And one of the advantages of us operating outside of the card networks is that we don't take a cut like Visa or MasterCard taking that 2-4%. We pay out the merchants 100% of everything that they accept at the end of every month. And that's all spelled out in the statements that we also provide on the monthly. So that is a bit of a high level of the program. And the whole idea is to really, you know, create a rising tide to lift all the ships locally. Does anybody have any questions as far as that piece of it? And if not, I can launch into a brief demonstration.
Hello, Mark. This is Alonzo. I'm just and you, if you're going to talk about like, is this only for businesses or any non? These four can be used for nonprofits as well. I'm just curious about that, and maybe you might go through that later.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's really anybody that you designate that you want to use it. You know, nonprofits are certainly acceptable. I mean, in our pilot community in Bristol, Connecticut, where I'm located, it's also my hometown. We have museums participate who are nonprofits. You know, so absolutely, it's really to help anybody who's local and is. What we think of as local independence, and I think nonprofits fall within that, especially if they have goods and services that they sell, or you know, if they want to accept, if they're doing a bake sale or something like that, and they're on your program and they're able to accept this credit, then you certainly can have them involved in the program.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right.
I have a question.
Sure.
I see how you say it work, but how do you all get paid from this? Because I know you're just not doing it because you like us.
We do like you, but yeah, that's true. We don't work for free. So one of the ways, the primary way that we fund the program, but also ourselves, is that we rely on the unspent gift card funds. So you know, in any gift card program out there, there is some percentage inevitably of funds that are not spent. Either the consumers forget about the card, they lose it, you know, all sorts of unfortunate situations. And after some period of time, you know, those become funds that basically, you know, we utilize as our revenue. And that's how we're able to provide the program without charging anything, any flat fees to the program coordinators are also the merchants to be a part of it.
Okay, well, that makes sense, because I know I am gift card queen and I forget about over half of it. So, you know.
I mean, we're rooting for 100% redemption, but it just is sort of like, you know, it's just what happens across the industry, and a lot of the gift card programs out there do rely on a similar revenue model. And so we felt like this is the best way to go rather than charging some flat fees up front.
Okay. I am going to reserve my questions until last, because I think as you continue on with your presentation, you may answer some of my questions, but do any other board members have questions so far for Mark? Okay. All right, Mark, you can proceed.
Okay, great. So now let's do some fun stuff. We'll do a little audience participation. I'd like to demonstrate to you like what the consumer experience is. So for instance, if you know, you receive one of these cards as a gift, let's say, you can actually, you know, pull out your phone, and if you have a QR enabled camera, you could just pull out your camera app on your phone and hover over this, and it should prompt you to open up a URL, and that will allow you to see the balance on your card. So if everybody has a phone, and if your camera doesn't read QR codes and you got a QR reader app, you can also use that if you want. So if you just take a few seconds, hover over that, and let me know if things start happening for you, since I cannot see everybody.
Yeah, I have a $25 balance.
Look at that. You're rich.
Yes. And it tells me where I can spend my money.
That's exactly right. So then, you know, as people, receive these as gifts, or they just receive them as a reward or whatever, however they get it, they can scan their card, or they can also go to a URL, which would be named after your program. Let's say, for example, fairburntaste.com/card. And then you could see at the top, above the QR code, there's, you know, this is just a dummy ID, but there's card IDs, and then they can enter that into the card ID and to look it up if they don't have something to scan it with. But the idea is that, you know, they can check the balance of the card, and then they can see all the different locations that they can spend it within Fairburn. And then, as you'll see, there's a little description of each merchant. You know, they there are some examples whether of merchants offering some rewards. That is strictly an optional situation. You could just merely accept it. Merchants don't have to provide any sort of reward. It's just to kind of demonstrate what's possible. So that's a bit of the consumer experience. And you may notice, you know, in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, there's a little button that says, little link that says merchant login. That's what merchants would use to log into our portal. So there's no, it's all run through a website. It's not, there's no app that needs to be downloaded. This can run over your smartphone, over a tablet, over a computer, any device that has access to a browser, basically. And so I'd like to show you a demonstration of what that experience is like for the merchant when they're logged in. So I will actually switch over to my other screen, and I'm going to be kind of scanning myself here. So if you, if you're all with me right now, you know, if the merchant pulls out their phone and then say I had a Fairburn Taste card and the merchant was logged in, I would present my card to the merchant. It would scan the card, and then the merchant would see something that looks like this. They would see the consumer balance. Okay, this consumer has 25 bucks on their card. And maybe it's a coffee shop that's the merchant, and the consumer says, okay, I want to buy this $5 coffee. The merchant simply types in $5. They make sure that they're on the accept payment button, and then they hit accept credit, and then boom, it's as simple as that. That's exactly all it takes to conduct a transaction in the system. Oh, I think my cat has joined me. and that's it. And then, so next time, say the merchant wanted to scan the consumer's card again, they can do so, and then it'll reflect the new balance in the card, and you'll see, okay, you know, we know that we took $5 off the card. Maybe the consumer wants to buy another thing while they're there. They can certainly do that. But that's really all it takes in order to perform a transaction from the merchant's standpoint. Is there any questions on that?
Okay.
I'm just happy that there's a phone option to scanning and making payments. That for a millennial, that's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, from the merchant standpoint too, they don't strictly speaking have to have a device that scans. You know, I was just mentioning, like, you know, there's some terminals that allow you to have a browser open, or maybe they have a computer nearby. They can, you know, I can actually show you, once the merchant logs in, they'll see this screen. They can always enter in the card ID, you know, whatever it happens to be. So if a consumer was, say, ordering something over the phone, they can just hand them the ID and the card, and then the merchant can simply key it in here and then confirm it. And then they would get to the exact same screen where then they can pull credit off of the card. If that makes sense. And then I'll just type in here, and then this is just a test. And then it would give you the same exact options. And then this is a little demo site that, like, I think you all saw on your phones in the mobile view, but we would stand up a site that looks very similar to this. And then it would have, of course, all your real merchant details. And then you can, you know, call or get directions to Google Maps from your phone.
Mark, quick question.
Yep.
Is everyone seeing, what are you seeing on your screen? Are you seeing demo consumer experience?
Yes, that's what I'm seeing. Unless he's...
Mark, you were saying that it was the way you were talking, it was like you were changing screens, but we haven't changed off of demo consumer experience.
I'm sorry.
Like,
hold on.
We're over the last five minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me switch it to, because I had different windows. I'm sorry. So
no worries.
So let me show you this one more time then. Must have been very confusing. So I'll run through this really quickly. I'm sorry about that. So what I was describing about the merchant login, did you see any of that, huh? When scanning the card? Okay, so when you scan the card with your phones, in the upper right corner of the screen, you'll see a little link that says merchant login. So when you log in, the merchant will see a screen that looks like this. Do you see this now?
Yes.
Scan a card. Okay. So then the merchant can click scan a card, and then they'll, you know, they can scan the consumer's card, and I'll pretend that I'm the consumer. And then I show up with a Fairburn Taste card, and then you just hover over, and then it scans it. And then the merchant is able to see, okay, this consumer has $20 in the card. And then it provides them these actions. So as long as they're on accept payment, perhaps the consumer says, okay, I want to buy a $5 coffee from you. The merchant would just say, okay, $5, we'll pull that off your card, and they hit accept. And that's all it takes to perform a transaction from the merchant perspective. So it's super, super simple. Takes, you know, less than 5 seconds. And then if the consumer, you know, if the merchant were to scan the consumer's card again, then you would see that the new balance reflected in the card shows that, you know, that $5 is taken off. And if the consumer wanted to spend more money with the merchant, you know, they can do so. And then you enter it and then accept it. And then on the back end, we keep our ledger keeps sort of account of all of these accepted funds. And at the end of the month, we pay out the merchants accordingly.
Excellent. And that doesn't, and that's not only for food services, correct?
No, it could be for anybody. For any type of business that you want inside of your program, we would just set them up with a login to this URL, and then they'd set their own password, and then they would be able to log in and do exactly the same transaction as I perform there. And, you know, just was mentioning, you know, they can of course scan a card if they have, you know, a device that's enabled for scanning, or they can just key in, you know, they can key in the digits on the top of the card and then perform the same transactions exactly the same fashion that it would be when you're scanning it.
Excellent. Because we have a few business owners online, and they're not in the restaurant business, but this will be a great card to use with some of their customers and client base.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, could be any type of business that you would like involved. Yeah, and then this is where I was kind of talking, and I think discovered that I was on the wrong screen, but. You know, we would stand up a program page that looks like this. But then, of course, it'd have the real details of your merchants, you know, their contact information, a way to call them or contact them, you know, get directions on Google Maps, which is especially helpful if they're mobile, you know, and they're walking around the community. And then consumers can click to purchase the gift through here. And then you could see there's different methods to deliver the gift. You know, they can do it electronically, they can mail an actual like voucher to somebody. And then we can also, it gets a little bit too into the weeds, but Sylvia, we can provide you blank cards as well that can be self-loaded by the consumer. Okay. So
excellent.
Yep. So that's the gist of it. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Okay. Do we have any questions? Is there any questions from any other board members? Okay. You may have said, and I guess I'm a little fuzzy about this, Mark. Okay. The cards, who can purchase the cards? Can I? I'm not a business owner, but can I purchase a card?
Yes. Any citizen.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Any human being who goes to the site can purchase a card for any reason that they want. You know, typically these are given as gifts, but you know, we're happy to fulfill bulk orders. Say a company wants to buy a bunch of these cards and have them preloaded with say $20 each and hand them out at some sort of event. That's, you know, we can accommodate all sorts of situations, but really anybody who has interest in purchasing the card can do so.
Okay. And is there a minimum amount?
I think the minimum we set is $5 per card.
$5. Okay. Yep. And is there a minimum amount of cards that I you know, as a consumer, just me. Not the business owner. Well, including the business owner.
Correct. Yeah. So right now, like you'd be purchasing, like you'd fulfill an order one at a time. But we, you know, if we know that there is some sort of bulk order coming, then we would certainly work with the program coordinator and they can inform us of, okay, you know, this company wants to buy 100 or, you know, this person wants to buy 20 and we can make it easier on them and just fulfill that through, you know, through our back channels.
Okay. And can you reload? Is it like a debit card where you can reload it instead of getting another card once that one is zeroed out? Can I just reload?
Absolutely. You can do that. So if you still have after scanning, if you still have that screen up, you'll notice right underneath the balance, there's two links. And maybe I can try to see if I can pull that up quick and just demonstrate that. Let's see here. Hold on, give me 1 second. Let's see here. Okay, let me show you really quick if you don't mind my sharing my screen one more time. Actually, am I sharing? No, I'm not. Give me 1 second. Where did my window go? Okay. So let me scan this one more time and I'll show you what that looks like. So this is the customer view. So then after buying all those coffees and pastries, they have $13 left. And then you'll notice that there's these two links. So then you can add, you know, denomination of your funds. And then, so you can reload the card. You can add more credit onto it. If you wanted to, you know, say you spent it and then you wanted to add credit and give it away to a friend or family member, you can do that. So then you would just add it through this channel here or through this screen.
Okay. So you're saying if I want to, and I always use me as an example. Okay. If I want to have my card, but then let's say I load $20 and then I want to also send $10, which make 30, but I want to send $10 to a friend. I can do it that way, but keep my $20?
Yeah, I mean, you would have those probably independently of one another. So mm-hmm. if you already have a card and you want to load more credit onto your own card, it would just add to like this subtotal here, this $13 would just add to that. Say you want to add $17 and make it a clean even 30. You know, if you want to, like you can give that card, the card that you just loaded credit onto, excuse me, the $30 card, you can give that to somebody as a gift. Or if you want to keep your $30 card, you can just sort of order a new one that is sent to somebody. It's probably a little easier, cleaner to kind of do it that way.
And Mark, we may have to do just a quick interjection. We may have to do a follow-up because I know this is quite extensive because we do have a family. We have guests.
Please, on. Please,
yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that is about it, that all the questions that I have. Anyone else have any questions? Okay, well, thank you so very much, Mark. And if you can leave information with Ms. Abernathy and she can get it out to the board members, we can review this.
Yeah, he's rolling out this program and we'll follow up in the second meeting. But this is an initiative that we're rolling out in the next month. So we'll have a follow-up presentation in October that talks about which project this is going to be linked to. But this is just to give the board an update.
Okay. All right. Wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Right. Take care. Yep. Bye-bye.
All right, board members. All right, we will be moving on to O business. And we want to go ahead in respect to, as Ms. Abernathy said, in respect to our guest, with just the Arnolds. We want to speak about, well, at the last minute meeting, for this is for your information, Alonzo. We discuss a scholarship, establishing an educational scholarship fund, and we want to name it in honor of, I can't think of the, I want to say the Arnolds, but I know there's a specific, the name.
Lawrence and Frankie. And Frankie Arnold.
Okay. Lawrence and Frankie Arnold. So this month, we ask that members of the Arnold family join us for this meeting and give us their thoughts and their comments and everything about the scholarship. So I don't see on my end, I know someone from the Arnold family is here. So Ms. if you-
Jane, yes, Miss Jane Arnold is here and Mr. Okay. Alfred Arnold are here. These okay. are two of the, and I believe also-
Arnold.
Patrick Arnold is on the line. These are the children, three of the, I believe there are six children total. Three of the seven children. And I don't know whether Apostle Jones wanted to speak a little bit about her thoughts with the scholarship because she was one of the authors of it.
She was the spirit. And before you get started, Apostle Jones, let me recognize for the record, we do have you, as a matter of fact, joining us, Apostle Danita Jones, as well as Israel Young. Have joined the meeting. That's just for the record. So, Apostle, if you want to give a prelude to, since you were the one who spearheaded this effort.
Sure. Good evening, everyone. And it's just such an honor to be on this phone with the Arnolds. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, bless
you. Hey, how are you? Hey, Afra. Hey, everybody.
Good afternoon.
But what I was saying is we as a group would like to do something to continue your legacy of your parents. Although, you know, Ms. Erna has the stage named after her, but Mr. Arnold, I was telling them that he was such a trailblazer for us in days that I wasn't even in the city of Fairburn, but I was told about it, how he gathered the young men's up to play baseball. And I was telling them even one of the young men's that I know went on to play professional baseball, which is Marquise Grissom. And then he started the Boy Scout for the young guys. And so I was just thinking that we need to do something in honor of him as well, because with Ms. Arnold being our first African-American city council member, Mr. Arnold was in the back keeping her lifted up. So because I've been here those 25 years and watched that and seen how they maneuver through the city, and not just the city, but the state of Georgia, and with foster care, then adoption, and Meals on Wheels, and everything that they have contributed to South Fulton and the city of Fairburn. So that was my reasoning for doing that, because I just honor their legacy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Apostle. And we will at this moment have one of members or all of the members of the Arnold family to speak.
Well, if I may, Chair Lady Appleby, I don't know that they know the particulars of the scholarship.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So they don't have any information about the scholarship. As Apostle Jones mentioned, the board, the Main Street board, discussed creating an educational scholarship for students. And this was as Apostle mentioned, for the board, they were all concerned about what would be the response for students in terms of getting ready for college coming out of the pandemic. It was proposed to create a scholarship for college students to provide financial support to rising college students, which can be applied to their tuition, books, housing, or other activities related to attending an accredited college or vocational school. Eligibility, we will discuss further as a board, because the board did have some priorities in terms of what they felt like should be eligibility, and that may be something for the family to also consider this evening. But eligibility was open to Fairburn graduating seniors from a public or private school. The family should consider whether your thoughts are public or private, because from the board, that was not established in terms of their preference was not confirmed during our last meeting. They thought that the family could share their insights in terms of what your thoughts are. The other item is that the academic requirements are 3.1 for there will be 10 scholarships, five would be available to the students. Seven are available to the students who have a 3.1 GPA. And then there would be additional scholarships at a higher amount for students who have a 3.5 or above. The other item is it is for students with financial need. Again, that's something that the board wanted input from the family, because there was consideration that there are some families that students should be able to qualify, but they're not necessarily on the margins in terms of their financial standing. So a question for the family is this something that should be strictly financial need, or there are working families who may have, for whatever reason, students that they wish to qualify for the scholarship. The other item is employees. The board gave consideration of City of Fairburn employees and indicated that they don't feel like these students should be, the children of employees should be ruled out. Field of interest, successful applicants will demonstrate a commitment to academic excellence, a service record of in their respective communities, and show leadership roles in homework or community. So the students would be required to provide resumes, or the eligibility would be students would provide resumes. They would also provide an essay as to why they should, on a subject that the board identifies as to why they should be selected or receive the scholarship. The requirements are the students will submit a 2-page essay double-spaced in using MLA format. They will also complete an honor statement indicating that the work that they submitted is their work. Essays, we have a list of topics. Essays must be on any one of the following topics. One is shaping the future, dealing with social media and the impacts of the political system. The other is the role of the global impact on healthcare. Will America's small businesses and downtowns recover? Why or why not? Who is the most prolific leader of your generation? How have they positively or negatively impacted society and why? Another was based upon what is the role of Facebook? The board wanted to kind of tweak that one. The question was whether it should be banned because of all the negativity that happened during some of the elections. Should college athletes receive paid endorsements is another subject. And then also, how has COVID impacted your life? What lessons in resilience can we learn? That would be topics for this year. The funding amount would be 5 to 7 students, or 7 students would receive $500. And then the remaining 3 students would qualify. The board was deciding on whether it would be $1,000 or $1,500. The review committee would consist of both board members, which would be compiled by city staff, and there would be an anonymous rating given, meaning that the board would only get numbers. They would not get any identifying information about the students. And then finally, the award notification will take place, or that'll be determined. And then finally, the board wanted to name the scholarship, and they thought of Mrs. Frankie Arnold and Mr. Lawrence Arnold, and making this a scholarship fund to commemorate the contributions of your family.
First of all, if you can hear me, this is Patrick Arnold. That is just amazing. We are so honored, and I know my mom is just over honored, and if my dad was here, he'd be jumping up for joy. He's a happy person. We hadn't discussed any of the parameters that you just brought to our attention because we weren't sure of it, but again, we'll discuss it, but I would think the scholarship should be open to anyone rather than restricted, should be given to public or private or anyone that qualifies. And I love those essays because now you're making them think. So that is great. Doing the essay for two pages and making sure that they provide some system that of honor that they actually did it. So I think that's awesome. But like I said, we had not discussed any of this at all. I'm Patrick. I'm the oldest child from Frankie and Lawrence, but we hadn't discussed anything, but I'm sure they may agree. I'm sure they would that it should possibly be open to anyone that qualifies.
Yes, I'm Jane Arnold. I agree with my brother. Working families, cities, people at the city hall, their children, family members, I feel it should be open to anyone. I still feel it shouldn't be any restrictions. If they qualify, they should get it. And I like the name, but I would prefer Lawrence and Frankie Arnold Scholarship Fund. The Lawrence and Frankie Arnold Scholarship Fund. I'm just partial. But thank you. I agree with my brother. What he said was, he hit it all. I was going to mention that too. It should be open to all people.
Thank you so much. I'm Alfred Herr, the youngest of the biologic. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm the youngest of the Frankie. I don't know, every time mama see me, she still think I'm 50 years old. I said, mama, I'm a little older than that. But to God be the glory to say this. I think I like what, first of all, we want to thank you all for thinking of them in this season. Me also being an educator, I'm also a radio host, to say that is an amazing honor for you all as a group of citizens and also as a board member to consider that. So we like the idea. We also like the idea, which I'm down there with her every weekend. She loves Landmark. And I'm saying, I know that's more of a private school. So I would say that we leave it, love that we will leave it open to anybody that qualifies. Because if y'all know my mom, she's 91 years old and everywhere she goes, I'm just gonna be honest with you. She tell everybody she was the first Black person to commission, Farrell. I said, Mama, I said, good enough. I say, I know you love what you do, but sometimes they don't even understand what you're talking about. But I think as a respectful, that scholarship that y'all do have and opening to all like that, we agree as a family. Like I said, we didn't know details, and I thank you for inviting us to listen in. And so we're 100% of what have you said? But this is one question I just have to ask here. How is this being funded? And the second thing is, how many scholarships are per year? And I like what you're doing. Did y'all talk about that in detail? I mean, how many scholarships would you offer? Maybe you told me that in the details, because there was a lot of details. Did y'all talk about that and how much money? I know I served the $500 and $1,500, but how would this be funded? So that's all I have to say. And thank you for allowing us to be a part of this. And we consider this a great honor that you allowed her oldest to her youngest biological. We are the biological, and quite naturally, the other four is her adopted, which is still pretty young compared to us. Again, here, thank you.
Yes. One of the things that the board was speaking about is ways that they can contribute to the community. So basically at this juncture of fundraising, And sponsorship of the scholarship would be the way that these scholarships are funded. In addition to that, the board identified, based upon a set amount, that there would be 10 scholarships total, and that would be ranging from 500. On the higher scholarships, the board is still considering what would be the best way to handle that, because initially it was just $500 scholarships for students to get more students to have scholarship funds. And then there was a discussion by the board that there should be one or two higher level scholarships that would provide more money. So that part is the details about how many are being considered by the board. And after their review, consideration, and vote, then that will be determined.
Thank you. Ms. Sylvia, so much.
Could I ask the question? This is Patrick again. We as a family, can we also participate in raising funds for the scholarship? Is that something that
we can definitely also do? Yes. Yes, definitely. One of the roles of board members is to raise funds. So I'm sure they would love the assistance in terms of if the family wanted to have spearhead an event or a fundraiser for the scholarship, we would love that. That would, yes. Chairwoman Appleby, I don't know whether you wanted to speak on behalf of the board.
Oh, no, I love that idea. Matter of fact, if the Arnold family did assist in this effort, it'll give a lot of weight when we do go to different organizations or entities. It will carry a lot of weight when we say, hey, the Arnold family is in favor of this, as well as they are contributing themselves. So it'll make it extra special. Yes,
yeah, we're definitely interested in participating in anything of that nature. Anything that we can do, we're willing to do it.
Okay, can I say something, please?
Yes, go ahead, Apostle Danita Jones.
Yes, Patrick, one of the reasons that the scholarship program came up is because I'm still working in the Lightning community.
Amen.
And we had a young lady, which she graduated with honors, and 2 weeks later, she graduated from GMC with her associate. And she went on to college, but she needed more funding. And I start thinking about that, because a lot of our families in the city of Fairburn now know how to go after scholarship, but then we do have so many that don't. They families are just not privileged in that area. And that's why I really thought about that scholarship program. So this year was my first year that I did a scholarship program to make sure that that young lady wouldn't have to worry about going to college. And so when you all were saying about it, it shouldn't be limited to the private or the public school, private schools, because I know someone that works directly, used to work directly with Landmark and their scholarship program, they get millions of dollars that some of our local children in the public school may not be even be aware of. So I wish you all would consider that, you know, in your decision. Not saying that what you're saying is wrong, but just looking at how some people are just not privileged to information because of the lack of their education of what's out there.
All right, we will consider anything. Anything that's going to be helpful to students is something we'll definitely consider, Apostle. And okay. we just thank you, Apostle, for, again, just thinking of Mom and the board. It is such an honor.
You know, I love your mom and I love your father and I love you all too.
Thank you.
I've watched you all over the years, how your mom just took those kids and raised them, Bobby, Sharon, Terry, and I mean, she was like, these my babies and everything that she's done. So I think we need to give people their flowers if we can while they can smell them. You
Amen.
Know?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Again, thank you. Again, I just want to say right quickly here, thank you, Apostle. We don't take this lightly. And we would like to also say this anytime, once this comes to real life, we would like to be somewhat a part of it, even though hopefully your mom still be around and something when this happens. So we just want to let personally, you have all our numbers here that you can communicate through us, our emails or whatever way that's best for you. Again, here, thank you.
Thank you.
And also I want to add to, and this may be something the board may want to consider as well, is having members of the Arnold family on the judgment committee as well, in addition to the Main Street board, but have members of the Arnold family.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, is there any more question? Board or comments, concerns? Anyone?
I was wondering. I'm not sure how much more y'all got into the nitty gritty of who can and who cannot. But is there a plan in place to, like, if you live in Fairburn, how long have you lived in? I mean, does it include the number of years a child has been in Fairburn? And is this a scholarship that you can reapply for if you received it? Is it like once a year or every other year? And I know that's more the nitty gritty of it, but those are just some questions that just came up to mind when we were discussing it.
Yeah, we did discuss that, Alonzo. And okay. We're still ironing out the finer details. We discussed it in length last month, but we will incorporate you into those discussions. But yeah, we did. One of the questions came up was, how often should a student apply for the scholarship, every year or once per X amount of time? So that's something the board, am I right, Ms. Abernathy?
Yes,
that's something the board, we still have to determine. And as far as residency, the student must be, or is it the parents, has to be a resident of Fairburn. It has to be in Fairburn. We know that. So
right. We did discuss that the family had to be, their residence had to be in Fairburn. And that question came up because it's open to Creekside students. Although Creekside is in South Fulton, there are a lot of students that live in Fairburn. So it was, the discussion was that it has to be, it's more about residency than it is about what school they attend. So if they are a resident of Fairburn, they can apply for the scholarship.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I think you were about to hit on it. Does it matter how long they have?
So the question is kind of linked to, is a business license, when a business applies for a Fairburn business, the license, as soon as the license is in place, then they're able to operate and function. So the standard would almost be the same for those who apply for the scholarship. If they are a resident of Fairburn and they just moved to the area, they shouldn't be restricted if they can show that they are a full-fledged resident. Now, the committee can consider if there's an abuse of the policy. For instance, if someone is using someone else's address, I don't think we would have folks that would move into Fairburn just for the scholarship, but you never know. It could get that big.
Right. But good point. You made it though. You answered my question. Thank you.
Okay.
So also to Alonzo, we will incorporate provisions into that. Maybe perhaps like Ms. Abernathy stated, maybe perhaps what we call a clawback provision, where if we do see any type of activity like what you were saying, you know, I mean, we do, I mean, there are people who do move into areas or use other people's identity for this, that, and the other. I mean, we hear and see that all the time on the news. So we do need to discuss as a board those type of provisions to incorporate into the scholarship so we can have that type of safety net. Okay, so is there any more other comments, questions?
Good evening, this is Kimberly Bracey. I just wanted to thank the Arnold family for attending our call tonight.
Thank you for inviting us, Ms. Kimberly, and the board. Thank you so much.
Thank you, we really appreciate that. Thank you again, and we are honored.
Yeah, have a nice evening, thank you.
Okay, and thank you all. The Arno family, thank you so very much. And especially thank you for wanting to be a part. Thank you very much for being on this meeting, but especially thank you for wanting to be a part of this venture for the Main Street Board and want to help out as well. So it will hold a special place in our hearts. So thank you. And
thank you.
As you go, please
be safe. Thank you all. Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye. Okay, board. We will close that out and we will talk about the downtown signage grant program. All right, Sylvia.
Okay. The downtown signage grant program, the only comments I received, two sets of comments, and I don't know whether if the board members who gave me comments want me to identify them, I can do that. But one of the comments that was made is to change the percentages, which makes a lot of sense. Instead of the 64, first of all, do I need to go over the signage grant again, or we?
Just briefly.
Okay. So the downtown signage grant program was a proposal that we sent out to all of our board members prior to last month's meeting. And we were asking that you review the program. It will be implemented and coordinated through the Downtown Development Authority. However, the Main Street Board, because you are so closely connected to the businesses, there was a request for you to review and provide comments. The initial grant program was coordinated through a combination of planning and zoning, the Downtown Development Authority, and Main Street. And the reasons for the signage grant is to provide businesses an incentive to have signs that will have continuity amongst the buildings in the downtown area. It is distinguished from a facade program. This is not a facade grant program. This is dealing specifically with the signs that would be on at the business sites. It's one of the things, the Fairburn Historic Downtown District has a rich architectural legacy as one of the early destinations points for commerce and social interaction. And of course, downtown is at the heart of the city. The signage is an important aspect of marketing and identifying a business location to potential customers. I cannot tell you enough, as just walking the downtown on a frequent basis, sometimes businesses are walked past because people don't know what business it is. And I can't tell you how people lose business. One of the biggest things when we did surveys, both the comments that were received through the comprehensive plan, and also when we did a smaller scaled Main Street survey, a lot of people drive through and use our corridor as a drive through because they can't see the businesses. And sometimes they don't get out and walk about because they don't know that, sometimes they're like, well, we don't know that a business is even there. So it's important for there to be signs. And the other thing is signs, we don't want to have, you know, like everyone having a different type of sign because that can also take away from the attractiveness of the downtown area. So the signage grant program offers the incentives and provides guidelines. So if a business wants to have a sign. They have they have guidelines to get this grant. There is also a program boundary for the sign grant. It is a downtown initiative, so the Highway 74 would not be eligible for these signs. There is also a time frame, which we're going to tweak, because when this was initially drafted, it was right before COVID. So we're going to need to change, tweak the signs at the time. So if you read January 1st to March 2021, of course that's passed because this was supposed to be prior to COVID. The eligible requirements, businesses or property owners within the downtown historic district are eligible. So if it is a business that is renting, they're eligible, but they must have permission or consent from the property owner. And then of course, a property owner can apply for the grant on behalf of the business that's occupying or just on behalf of their property. Applicants for the grant, So to make that more specific, applicants for the grant must be recorded or owners of the property or a tenant and subject to review and approval by the tenant's lease and any required consent of the property owner. Also, only businesses operating within the program boundaries. The applicant must provide 3 bids for all eligible improvements. So if they apply for the grant, they will need to make the improvement first and they will be reimbursed, but they must have asked for 3 bids. And then finally, for-profit and nonprofit commercial businesses are eligible. The eligible projects include signage upgrades, exterior sign lighting, awning installation, and lighting improvements. Ineligible projects are exterior improvements to the building facade, structural are not approved for this, and masonry cleaning or painting and monument signs are not approved. Requirements for selections, signing and awning design and installation must come from a professional licensed and bonded company. So that's the kind of rule out people just kind of hodgepodge doing it themselves and then applying for the grant. There are some other, it should positively contribute to the appearance of the vitality of the downtown Fairburn. It should also demonstrate, there should be a demonstrated need for new signage. So business that is applying should show a need for new signage. And it also has to be in accordance with the city of Fairburn codes. Successful applicants will be required to obtain appropriate permits before receiving the grant. So the grant amounts initially were 40%, award up to 40%, with a maximum grant award of $4,000, but the applicants were required to contribute 60%. One of our board members suggested something that makes sense. Let's just make it 50-50. Because the 40-60 is confusing and people would just be like, why? You know, just 50-50, matching grant. So that makes sense. And then there's an award process that we can go into more detail. There is an option for, just like with any grant, there will be a webinar or pre-committee meeting or conference for the applicants to hear about the program and ask questions. And then the submittal of the application will have a time stamp as well as require 9 copies, but that's just getting into general housekeeping. In terms of the grant review committee, and there are two committees which can be combined. One is the design review committee. The design review committee will assess the project for code compliance, design quality, and architectural compatibility to ensure that the funds are being invested in a quality project. And then the grant review committee and decision will be compiled of a review board whose sole discretion is the decision rests. So the review board is the final decision. If a project is not approved, There is a process for a remediation where the person can take care of whatever the conditions were that were established and go back and reapply if it's within the time period. If not, then they'll have to apply during the next cycle. And that's it.
Okay, do we have any questions from the board to Ms. Abernathy? Ms. Abernathy, does the city have an overlay? I know we have an overlay district in the downtown area.
Yes.
But is there a criteria established, like an architectural type of overlay?
For the historic project. So the historic commercial district is an overlay. It's an overlay of the downtown area, and it is identified by four buildings that have been designated by the federal or the National Register as historic in nature. Those buildings are governed by a set of standards for any sort of upgrade or repair of the building. Okay. But those are the only buildings.
Those are the only buildings. So the other buildings, there isn't, they have, the Fairburn hasn't established an architectural type of overlay for the other buildings, just the historic.
Yeah. Outside of the historic buildings, no. Now, with that said, there is, through the planning and zoning office, there are standards that are, outlined through the ordinance, but I have to review and make sure, because I don't know that I think that's more dealing with the size of a sign and the mm-hmm. types of lights that can be used, but the building structure in and of itself, I need to, you know, further review that. There may be standards for height, mm-hmm. but again, the only overlay that exists right now is the historic commercial district. And yeah. then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that is going to be key as far as the signage goes, because I know many downtown areas do not allow neon signs.
Right.
And so we would need to know the criteria of what type of sign, because if we want it to be uniform, it has to be uniform.
Exactly.
You know, so we just need to know the criteria of what has already been established in the city, and then if we as a board want to establish another type of criteria for the signage so it can be uniform.
Okay, I will pull that. Okay. I'll pull that together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We have any questions or comments, concerns from the board? Okay. All right, we'll move forward to Ms. Abernathy, do you want to speak about anything up under item number 3, economic development, like Georgia City's 3B
through 3E? I'm going to go ahead and bring up the, in the interest of time, maybe I will not bring up the visual on that, but I'll just say that Georgia City's is taking place October the 3rd through the 9th. And it is being spearheaded, of course, by the mayor and city council. It is an event that's sponsored by the Georgia Municipal Association. It launches October 3rd and culminates on the 9th. And it's funny because the information is actually on my slide, so I may have to pull it. Oh, here we go. I'll send out a schedule and a flyer to everyone. There is a pre-event, a kickoff, which is movie night with the mayor, and that's going to be on October 2nd, and that's for all of the students. It's a part of Parks and Recreation. There will be just features for students and for the kids, a DJ, performances, as well as a 90-minute movie, and that will be for the students. From my understanding, and I'll follow up with Mr. Berry, I know that First Baptist Church, it initially originated as a part of the Fall Festival, and First Baptist Church during Fall Festival provides popcorn to the kids. So that's something that the you know, they do a great job and they are fulfilling that for the children. Sunday, October 3rd, at First Baptist Church of Fairburn will be the kickoff for Georgia Cities Week, which will include a proclamation of the city of Fairburn. And it will recognize the church as a mainstay in the community and their contributions, as well as the importance of Georgia Cities Week. Monday, October 4th is Public Safety Day, which will be great because there's going to be a helicopter. There's going to be all of the public safety equipment available for the community to come out to see, the fire trucks, everything. But, you know, it'll be real neat to see the helicopter fly in and for folks to see that. There won't, I don't know that there'll be helicopter rides, but they'll, you'll be flying in. So the public safety department is putting that on, and just to highlight and give a live demonstration of all of the work that they do. Tuesday, October 5th is Shape Up in Fairburn, health and wellness. Our Parks and Recreation Department has launched a series of health and wellness. They're going to have the courtyard, and they'll also have a planting demonstration. And that will be a 45-minute workout in the evening. On Wednesday, October 6th, will be a community cleanup with the Keep Fairburn Beautiful, as well as our streets department. And it will be from 10 to 12. Snacks will be provided. That evening will be the announcement of all of the essay and art winners at Global Impact Academy. And there will be a panel discussion from the district leaders about key issues impacting education. And that is Fulton County Board of Education. There'll be District 4, Ms. Francesca Warren, as well as District Leader Mr. Maxwell. And there will also be other, the mayor and other leaders within the community to talk about key issues. It's under the guise of conversations that matter. And then on Thursday will be coffee and jazz, which is really neat because they're gonna have coffee with a cop. They're wanting to launch that with the seniors, where the seniors come out in the morning and have coffee with the cop. That evening will be the alley art and jazz in the alley. It was initially scheduled for last Friday, but with the tropical rains, it had to be rescheduled. So it's going to be a wonderful event. The planning and zoning department has worked very hard on that in terms of activating the space and transforming the alley into an art gallery. And there will be jazz on the stage. There will also be a job fair at the youth center for teens, and that's sponsored by Parks and Recreation. And then finally, our Main Street and our Main Street Board, as well as our economic development, we are underwriting the education night on Wednesday, as well as the service on Sunday, as well as the concert on Friday. So our portion is in a commemorating celebration of education, as well as National Faith in Blue. We'll be recognizing community folks in our downtown area, as well as our police officers and all of their contributions. And that will be a wonderful concert that evening. And that is Georgia Cities Week. So.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah. So, and a lot of it with the rainouts, a lot of the programs were pushed back.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Have the public been notified? I know you have.
The public has been notified, and we're really trying. We're pushing for an event that's going to be coming up in November, and I'll have more details. That's where the rollout of it's the end part of October, really, but it is the rollout of the Fairburn Cash cards, and that's why it's called the Taste, because it's incorporated with a lot of the businesses, focusing on what our Main Street businesses have to offer, our downtown businesses, and it's not just a taste of food, but a taste of the flair of Fairburn. So it's the theater, it's the dance studio, it's the business services, it is the restaurants, it is all things Fairburn in launching the experience, the total Fairburn experience. So that's coming up. And that's the Georgia Cities.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, yes, Mr. Two committees had presentations. I know Kimberly and the design committee is working on something related to our wayfinding and our neighborhood navigations, and also Lee's committee in terms of following up with the welcome packets as well as other promotions. So I don't know which order you want them to go in, but yes.
We can have, let's see.
For 1 second, you guys, I need to step away for a second. I'm sorry, I am literally in quarantine because my son, and he literally just sent me a message. I'm not leaving, I just need to go check on him.
Oh, are you okay? Is everything okay? We didn't know that.
So far so good, but I keep looking down because he was messaging me. I just need to peep in, go mask up and glove up, and I'll be right back.
I understand. As long as you can hear us, and we just hope that you're okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, ladies first, Kimberly, do you want to go first?
Actually, what I would like to do, I spoke with Sylvia earlier about presenting the wayfind in for our October agenda. I really need to get the facts around how much each one would cost and represent the facts to everyone, because I think we have a few different board members now and our design team needs to meet. So we will meet before our next October meeting and have all the facts to present wayfinding again.
Okay, well, Simi, I think I'm on the design team. So send me some dates that you're available, Kimberly, to meet.
Okay. While we have a second, let's talk about the design team. Ms. Young and Ms. Jones are also on the design team. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it's four of us at this point. Okay, so I'll shoot you all out an email with some dates and times to see what's best for you all to meet.
Sounds good.
That sounds good. It sounds good.
That'll be good. Then we can meet. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, are you finished, Kimberly?
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Lee? You're on mute. Unmute yourself, Lee. No, we can't hear you.
Okay, sorry about that.
We can hear you.
So sorry. Tonight we're going to talk about the welcome packets. We had talked about them in previous meetings, and it's time to kind of talk about it again and then start making some decisions about what the contents of these packets will be. What I wanted to throw out tonight was that I think we need like 3 or 4 key things in these packets. And to get some ideas on what you think those 3 or 4 key things are for. And these are for newcomers to the area. It could also be a tourist item that they could use them as well if they're just coming in for a weekend or whatever. So if we could maybe brainstorm just for a few minutes about what things need to go in this welcome packet. I think one thing, and I hate to throw it out there and then start talking again, but if they are new to the area, you know, most cities have a section on their website called how do I whatever, how do I get the power turned on, how do I whatever, things like that. So in that light, do you have any thoughts on what needs to be in this packet?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea, having a welcome packet. You are correct. When people who are new and just passing through, or just thinking about, living here, They do need to know those things. How do I get my lights turned on? Or even business owners, really. You can even look at it like that too. Business owners, how do I get a permit? What is the process? Which will include power and everything like that. So yeah, I think that is a good area. How do I ... or what do, how can I ... and you could just put it as far as two separate categories, the business end and as well as you know, a personal, like a residence end. Because you're looking at two different how do I ... and you know what, Lee, if the other program, what we just, the cash card, what we just heard about, mm-hmm. If that gets underway, then probably partnering with that. I can see that, partnering.
It'd be a nice little freebie to throw in there to start them off. Maybe a $5 yeah. card or something like that.
Yeah.
It's a great little welcome.
Yeah, great welcome. And as well as the welcome, of course, I think you already had mentioned about having also included in this packet, different eating establishment, hotels, you know, everything, the amenities that Fairburn has to offer. You know, the schools, the dis, especially talking about the new school, the STEAM school. It's a STEAM, STEM, one of the two, but that and Landmark is a great marketing tools. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think I seen a hand or someone. Was it you, Alonzo?
I was waiting for y'all to finish because y'all might have answered my question. If you do the how to, I'm just wondering, we just got to be careful because you don't want to run the risk of if there's multiple businesses that service that particular need, you know, like how... not to try to play it fair with the if that's just a thought. It's not that big of a deal, but you know, if there's more than one kind of light placed, like if there's Georgia Power and or there's a gas or whatever that sort,
I see what you're saying, like if it's Georgia Power in opposed to Greystone or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but different cities have different carriers. Yeah, it's a certain carrier within a certain parameter, and you can only go with that carrier. Now, however, some areas, because they are incorporated, there is the ability to choose. So some people may go with Georgia Natural Gas and some people may go with, what's the other, Scanner or something like that. So that's just also still be included in that, but it depends on what area you in.
Right.
Yeah. So I know it's kind of confusing because someone in the utilities department had to tell me that at one time because we were dealing with an issue out at Camp Creek Marketplace. And there's a fine line where people have the ability to choose. And then when you go over across the street, it's no choice at all. You have to go with this energy carrier. I'm sorry, Ms. Young.
I was going to say, as well as you're saying that it needs to be a separate business and a separate like residence, is this welcome mm-hmm. packet, is there going to be two different welcome packets, one for new business openers and one for new residents?
Well, that's something that Lee can, yeah.
Well, I think that's what we're trying to hash out tonight. Do we need two? Do we need one that covers all areas? So we're in the early stages of it.
Okay, so yeah, I definitely think that there should be two separate welcome packets, a business one and a you know, residential one, as well as in that, it would be beneficial for both residents and businesses to have a list of businesses. It could be categorized like restaurants. What is it? What do we have? Cleaners, or, you know, just a different list of businesses what we have access to. And, you know, our little city here.
Okay.
That's a great idea.
I agree with that.
That's a great idea. Okay. Any other comments or anybody else?
Alonzo, you'd be listening because you're on this committee now, in case you didn't realize it. You are.
I'm listening. I'm paying attention. You have
stepped into something that.
Yeah, I see it now. It's real.
Yeah, on this board, once you open up your mouth and say something, we got you.
Yeah, and I appreciate it because sometimes I just don't want to fall straight on my face. But if there's a thought that just comes that like, is this serious enough just to bring for it? I just, you know, I'm new, but, you know, I think a lot. I do a lot of thinking.
Yes, we need
things. That's great. And if you have a question, just blurt it out. I mean, sometimes you're thinking what everybody else is thinking. I found that out and you just don't want to say it, but other people are thinking the same thing.
Yeah, because I was grateful Miss Sylvia was talking about the gentleman that was doing the presentation and then that one PowerPoint. I was like, man, it seems like he must be going to another slide or something and I'm not following. I'm just like, thank you, Miss Sylvia for bringing out. Cause I was like, maybe he's thinking that we're all on our phones going through the thing. And I'm like, I was so troubled.
Alonzo, while I'm here, can I get your contact information, like your cell number?
So sure.
Oh, wait a minute, before you do that, put it in the chat.
Okay.
Or you can send it because recordings are.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Public.
Oh, yeah, everybody and their mom is going to have it.
Nah. Records. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
You don't want everybody calling you.
Yeah, amen to that.
So you can either send it to Ms. Abernathy can give you Lee Alonzo's contact information.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Do you want me to do that, Alonzo, or you want to put, I can just send it to Lee and CC you on that?
That's fine.
Okay.
I was about to put it on the chat, but whichever way is fine.
I think this one be fine with Miss Abernathy. I think that'd be fine because these are the reason why they're recorded because they are public records. Once we say adjourn, it's a public record.
Got you. Copy that.
Any other comments? All right. Ms. Abernathy, I think everything is
we should adjourn.
We covered everything.
Yeah, we can. The other stuff we can do another time because it's 8:42.
Okay, well, it is 8:42 and we did pretty good. We 15 minutes over, you know, the meetings usually last an hour, hour and a half. So do I hear a motion placed on the table to adjourn the meeting?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, who said that?
That'll be Mr. McMichael.
Oh, okay. I think Alonzo did too, so.
All righty. Michael, and do I hear a second?
Second.
A second.
Okay. All right. The motion to adjourn the September 21st Fairburn Main Street meeting was placed on the table by board member Lee McMichael. It was seconded by Alonzo Berry. All in favor, say yay.
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 All right. Any opposed, say nay. All right, motion carried, and the time is 8:43. So members, I will see you in October. Please be safe out here. And for those who we all need to meet, we can meet Kimberly, okay? So be safe.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.